The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true experiences and opinions of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has said,
"There is hope for the addicted, and this hope comes through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and by humbling oneself before God, pleading to be freed of the bondage of addiction and offering our whole soul to Him in fervent prayer. Priesthood leaders can help as those who have addiction seek counsel from them. Where necessary, they can refer them to qualified licensed counselors and LDS family services. The addiction recovery program, adapted from the original 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, is readily available through LDS Family Services."
In this series, you will hear actual meetings discussing each of the gospel principles of addiction recovery and healing. Addiction recovery meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. These podcasts may seem contradictory to such standards. All the participants in these meetings are active participants in the addiction recovery program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. These recordings were created with the express purpose of providing a way for individuals who are isolated from recovery groups to participate, as well as provide an example to church leaders and members of a typical meeting. In this portion of the addiction recovery meeting, you will listen to one member share his or her own personal experience with step one of the addiction recovery program.
Hi, I'm Abra.
Hi, Abra.
I'm a recovering addict. I have to tell you, you know, sometimes coming to these meetings, you get ready to come to your meeting and you get on your way. And I'm a person that's early for everything. My mom tells me I'll be early for my own funeral. And so I get on my way to the meeting tonight and I just get in this little fender bender. And I'm thinking, really, can anything else go possibly wrong in my life? And so I get my information out to give it to the lady, and she just grabs my insurance card and gets in her car and drives off. And I'm thinking, really, are you serious? So I'm thinking, really? So, of course, I call my mother, and I said, "Mother, I don't think anything else can possibly go wrong in my life right now." And she says, "You need to just pray because you need to go to that meeting tonight." And I said, "Well, okay." So, I said a prayer, and she said the prayer. I was driving, and I had the phone on speaker, and she says, "Okay, you're going to be fine. Just go to your meeting." And I said, "You know, sometimes my life just really seems like it's just still out of control. And I've been clean for almost 11 years. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is just crazy." And she says, "No." She says, "You know, the devil doesn't care if you've been clean for one day or 10 years. He still wants to stop you from doing good things." And I said, "You know, sometimes I hate it when you're right." So here I am. I was just almost late, and I hate that. I hate being almost late. I want to be early for everything. She's right. I'll be early for my own funeral. But, you know, step one for me, honesty and, you know, deciding that my life was out of control was not my own decision. I had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and the doctor looked at me and said, "If you drink again, if you do drugs again, you'll die." And I said, "Oh, well, okay then. I guess I'm not ever going to be doing that again." And my husband said, "Well, I guess if you have to quit soda wine." I said, "That's right, because I'm not going to let you do it and me not." So, of course, he had to quit, and that was almost 11 years ago, my sweet husband. And so within the first, I don't know, 2 months, I was like, "Look at all this money we have," because I wasn't spending all this money on alcohol and using. Within 6 months, we went out and bought a truck. We paid cash for it. And I was like, we spent all this money on alcohol. And I mean, my husband was drinking a 24 pack of beer and a fifth of tequila every night. I mean, he was really an alcoholic. And I thought, you know, if we should have done this years ago. Look at what we've done to ourselves. We could have bought a house. So I actually sat down, not this time on step one, but last time, and calculated the money that we spent in the 10 years that we used, and we could have bought a house, just outright bought a house with the money that we spent. And my husband was like, really? Or, you know, what were we doing? And I said, well, we obviously weren't doing the right things. And I just think, you know, it took Heavenly Father I'm one of those people that has to be smacked on the head a couple times before I listen. I don't know if y'all are the same way, but, you know, Heavenly Father had to just really just, you know, take that lightning bolt and smack me with it because I wasn't listening. You know, I'm grateful that he did. I don't know that I liked the way he had to do it, but, you know, I'm so grateful that I'm sober and that I'm coming to these meetings. And even after, you know, I've been coming to meetings for 3 years, and when I came the first time, I thought, I don't need to go to meetings. I've been sober a long time. And of course, you come and you go, oh my gosh, look at all these things in my life that I'm still screwing up with. Which of course I was. So I've been coming to meetings and I say to my husband, come to meetings. And he goes, I'm sober. I don't need meetings. So I'm still working on him, but he'll start coming someday. But I think back and I think, wow, how did I ever get sober and not come to meetings? And I think it was just the threat of, you know, of death. And that's what it was. I knew that I would die. And my Heavenly Father, I prayed to him one time and I said, I'm so sorry that it took you having to threaten my life. And I knew that's what it was because I would never have stopped. And it was the only way he knew that I would stop. And I am so grateful that he loved me enough to love me almost to death. And I thank him for that. And it's so hard to say, you know, some people look at me and go, how can you say that? And I said, you know what? It's the only thing that saved my life because I wouldn't be here now if he hadn't have done that for me. And I'm grateful that I came to these meetings and I found out I'm a raging codependent, and which I'm working on. And, you know, I'm much better about those kinds of things now. And I am just so grateful for this program. I feel like my Heavenly Father saved my life so many times. I just can't thank him enough. I thank him every day for being my friend and loving me and bringing me to this program and really just saving my life. I'm so grateful for the missionaries in this program and what they do for us every time we come to a meeting and them giving their time for us. And I'm so grateful for the atonement that, you know, Jesus Christ gave us the ability to repent for the things that we've done. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'll say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks.
The full episode for Step 1 of the Addiction Recovery Program is also available on the Mormon Channel.